And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumery. The man who a Juneau police officer shot at on Tuesday night says he's home safe and wants to share his side of the story. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
The street in the Mendenhall Valley, where a Juneau police officer fired his gun on February 22nd, is lined with trailer homes. The man who police shot at is standing on his porch, having a cigarette. There's a light post nearby with a sign warning to watch for children.
Yeah, my name is Art Whitney, and I'm pissed.
Whitney was at the end of the driveway when police started shooting. An eyewitness said she saw exactly where an officer had fired from that night. It's about 250 feet away. Whitney is a Navy veteran, small and gaunt with a long beard. He says he recently got home after spending two nights at Bartlett Regional Hospital, where police took him after the shooting.
Maybe I saw a shrink, but I think they were all counselors.
Mm-hmm. Just lots of talking, or what?
Oh, just talking. How are you feeling about every hour? Mm-hmm. And blood tests, you know, the normal routine, I guess.
Whitney takes me back to that night. He says he was shopping online and realized he had fallen for some kind of scam and lost thousands of dollars. He says he was suicidal, or at least acting suicidal.
It was just a desperate plea for help.
Police say their initial contact was a call from a family member who said a man was threatening to harm himself. The family member also told police he had a gun at home. Whitney says he gave his gun to a roommate and waited outside to meet the police. He says he was talking on the phone with his daughter when he heard shouting at the far end of the street. At first, he didn't know they were police.
And then they lit me up with their flashlights.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I hear this guy shout, "He's got a gun." Bang, bang, bang.
He wasn't hit, but police said two occupied trailers were. Police said one shot went into a bedroom window. Someone got a minor cut on broken glass. Whitney dropped to the ground, and police cuffed him. Somewhere in the mix, he says he heard neighbors repeatedly shout that he did not have a gun. According to Whitney, he wasn't armed and wasn't doing anything threatening, just talking on the phone.
They got to tell me how in the hell they could tell if I had a gun from, what, I thought, at least 100 yards away,
right,
in dark.
Right.
You know, come on. I mean, geez, I couldn't even see them. So anyway, it's not quite true, all of it.
He says police searched his room in the trailer he lives in.
Yeah, and here's the weirdest part. I could get my gun back. I didn't have to surrender my weapon. That's the bottom line. I did not have to surrender my weapon.
His phone, however, was taken as evidence. Whitney says he feels safe now and is working on getting some follow-up counseling. He also learned after the shooting that he may be able to recover the money he lost through federal deposit insurance. He says he's not aware of if he's in any trouble. Oh, and Whitney says there's at least one more thing the police got wrong. They said he was 65 years old. He won't be 65 until July. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And if you're in a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. More on that story. The Juneau Police Department has named the officer who shot at a man and hit two nearby homes in a trailer park in the Mendenhall Valley. Officer Eric Hoffman shot at Juneau resident Art Whitney, who said he was feeling suicidal at the time. According to a written statement from police, officers talked to Whitney on the phone before they arrived on scene, and he told them that he had a gun and was going to hurt himself. Police say they arrived just after 8 p.m., announced themselves as police officers, and asked Whitney to walk towards them and show his hands. At some point, Hoffman believed a gun was being pointed at him, and he fired three shots at Whitney. Juneau police confirmed Friday that Whitney did not have a gun on him during the shooting. Hoffman didn't immediately respond to phone or email requests for comment. He is currently on administrative leave. In other news, the Washington state legislature is considering a tax on fuel refined there and shipped to other states, including Alaska. In response, Alaska House member has proposed two taxes that would hit Washington. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
The Washington legislation would increase the cost of fuel exported to Alaska, Idaho, and Oregon by 6 cents per gallon. It wouldn't affect Washington residents. The tax would pay for projects, including public transportation and bicycle and pedestrian safety, that are intended to reduce emissions. Washington State Representative Jake Fye, a Democrat, says it would be fair to impose the tax on the states that receive fuel refined in Washington.
all those states have lower gas taxes. And in terms of fairness, I think it's only appropriate, since we produce the fuels for their use, that they support our climate activities and our overall activities in the package.
The proposal caught the attention of an Alaska legislator, Big Lake Republican Representative Kevin McCabe.
They're using our resources and buying our resources, and we're using theirs. It sort of should be a symbiotic relationship between two states, and all of a sudden it's not.
McCabe has introduced two bills in retaliation. One would add two taxes for fishing businesses per pound of fish caught or processed in the state. Alaska-based businesses would get a credit to offset the taxes. The amount of each tax, 6 cents. The other bill would tax oil producers for the oil sent from Alaska to Washington to be refined by $15 per barrel. McCabe says he hopes his bill stops the Washington legislators from moving forward. McCabe says that as a conservative Republican, he doesn't want to raise taxes on anyone, but he says he would understand the Washington proposal better if it affected Washington residents too.
If we're all going to share in this tax, then we're all going to share in it, and you know, possibly that would be acceptable. But just targeting three states and not their own drivers and not British Columbia, that makes it a problem.
McCabe is in the House Minority Caucus, but a majority member, Independent Representative Josiah Puketak of Ukiagvik, also is concerned about the Washington proposal.
If we can kind of position ourselves to be able to strategically combat that, not necessarily fire with fire, but the thought that there could be fire with fire, to potentially have them, you know, reconsider their thoughts on things, then that's some dialogue that I'm willing to engage in.
Puketak notes that heating fuel prices are already locked in through the summer, and he adds that much of his district in the North Slope borough buys fuel that's been refined in places other than Washington. But he says villages that could see higher costs in the long run are already paying a lot.
You've got villages that are paying $10, some of them I think $15 a gallon of home heating fuel or gasoline to go and hunt the land.
This isn't the first time Alaska lawmakers reacted to a Washington tax plan. McCabe drew inspiration from a similar proposal by former Alaska House Speaker Mike Chenault. Back then, Washington had proposed a $100 fee on shipping containers bringing goods to Alaska. Chenault recalls how he then proposed a tax on oil headed to Washington.
We didn't think it was fair that they were going to try to tax Alaskans an extra $100 just to pay for programs and services that they wanted in their state and have somebody else pay for it. So that's why we introduced it.
At that time, both sides diffused the situation by dropping their proposals. Chenault says he hopes McCabe will have similar success this time. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Alaska's congressional delegation has condemned Russia's attack on Ukraine and called out Russian President Vladimir Putin's aggression. In an emailed statement Thursday, none of the three Republicans criticized President Biden. Senator Lisa Murkowski said the state must unite around several severe sanctions and punish Russia for its crimes. Congressman Don Young called Putin, quote, an authoritarian thug, and said America doesn't back down from dictators. Senator Dan Sullivan said Putin is driven by historical grievances and paranoid about neighboring democracies. He did not grant an interview request, but later in a videotaped statement, Sullivan did find fault with Biden.
The President of the United States said his administration is doing everything they can to help with energy independence and make sure energy prices are not skyrocketing because of this crisis. That's not true. Mr. President, you need to do much more. You need to get your boot off the neck of American energy producers.
Sullivan said the administration should proceed with development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and elsewhere. Opponents of drilling in the Arctic Refuge say production would be years away and would not serve to counter the current production spike. Governor Mike Dunleavy, in a message on Twitter Thursday morning, said he differs with President Biden on domestic energy production, but said now's the time for unity against Russia's attacks on democracy. In the afternoon, Dunleavy issued a press release saying Alaska's energy resources are an asset to national security. From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumrie.